Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to this special GeekCast Radio interview. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me today is the creator of the website ShelfLifeX.com, James Chilcott. Hello, James.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Good, good. And before we get started, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about your background and basically before you got up to the point of shelf life.
Sure, fair enough. So I spent the last 10 years running a web design and development agency here in Toronto, Canada, working with clients of all types and doing a little bit of work with the toy and design industry on a regular basis. And through that, really developed my love and passion for collectibles. My living room is full of just as many Detolf cases as yours probably is. there's a ton of Transformers over here, some 3A Ashley Wood stuff, a whole bunch of vintage G.I. Joe, Star Wars, some Masters of the Universe. Got a bunch of vinyl framed and hung on the wall.
Oh,
some,
nice.
Rare lithos and prints. Pretty sweet Black Keys poster we picked up at Coachella this spring. It needs to be framed in the corner. And like the rest of us, I'm always looking for the sexiest new thing that's on the market that is going to fit into my collection. And I've been spend too many years kind of wondering when there was going to be an amazing new site just for collectors. And finally we got fed up and decided we were going to do it ourselves.
So what is the concept or idea behind Shelf Life?
I mean, the most basic concept is that we're trying to give collectors the best damn site they've ever seen. And what that really, how that really plays out in real terms is that we're trying to, from a primary perspective, replace eBay completely and just put a much better technology stack up that is custom to the needs of collectors, that focuses on their haves and wants and the pricing that they want to achieve and rolls up a lot of the price aggregation opportunities from across the web to give them a complete picture of what their options are. And largely when we're out talking to people about it, we talk about it being some kind of mix between eBay, Wikipedia, and Facebook, because it's not just a marketplace. Shelf Life is largely driven by the class of users we call curators. Curators are like Wikipedia editors, and they take on a catalog at a time, use their product knowledge, and usually extreme product knowledge as super fans, to fill out all the relevant details. And we're talking about everything from release date to the MSRP. And we track, you know, what's really special about Shelf Life is we track every product down to the parts level. So we don't just know that there's an Optimus Prime. We know that he has 27 parts. We know that there was variance on three or four of those parts. And we make it really easy to manage your entire collection by tracking all of those parts, the condition and the completion level of every product that you put into your collection. And then what we've been working on for most of the second half of the summer is adding a huge social tool set to Shelf Life so that collectors can create circles of trust. They can connect to other collector, like-minded collectors so that they can have a special advantage of being able to interrelate their collections and find out who they know or who knows who they know that can get them a good deal on something or hook them up. And we're building out some really cool stuff. We're calling the collector dashboard and collector score that's still under wraps, but will be unveiled in about 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, awesome. So how will your Explain how the matches with the buyers and sellers kind of works with with the website.
Yeah, I mean, to really fully understand the power of that, you have to kind of go back to what eBay is all about. eBay is this massive website with millions of users and millions of listings. But that's just it. They only have listings. eBay has no idea what we're actually buying and selling. All they do is relate listings via keyword search. And because of that, they've never been able to track anything to the parts level. They've never been able to effectively resolve conflicts because they don't really know what it is that we're buying or selling when we're on there. And that's why everything's always been such a hassle through PayPal, because the details of the agreements are always so nebulous from eBay's perspective. They know you bought an Optimus Prime, but they don't really know what that means. They don't know really what the expectation was or who they can hold to what based on the details that were in the listing, because the listings are made one by one by all of us. If 100 of us are selling something, we create 100 separate listings, even though it's for the same thing. Shelf life changes all of that. So now we have the curator setting up one central listing for every product that has perfect information about that product. And then when you want to buy or sell it, you can go to that listing and then fill out the details based on that basic information set to set up what you're looking for. So maybe you're just looking for two missing missiles and a gun. And you can fill that out and set a perfect set of expectations about the condition you want to get those three items in and what you're expecting to pay for it. And we call that the want-have system. So you can go in and click the want button and tell us everything you want. You can go in and click the have button and record your collection. And then because we're tracking everything apples to apples, we can then automatically match buyers and sellers. And there are a million different ways we can make that pretty exciting.
Nice. And I noticed when I played around with the site earlier, as I was adding things, they were coming up asking me, like I was adding things for my haves list, for instance. And I was filling out all the information, and it was kind of cool seeing how you can set the quality level of every item or how many of every item you have, as far down as where you purchased it. And then when you got done with it, it would tell you that, you know, so-and-so wants this particular product at whatever quality level that you have it at.
Yeah, so I mean, you're getting immediate feedback. We launched the want-have matching system just over a week ago. The marketplace itself went live in July. So we're building out functionality iteratively, adding new layers all the time that make the whole process more rewarding from step to step. So you're getting that instant feedback now that tells you as soon as you want or have something, whether somebody else might be looking for it or has it for you. And if they don't, then you get to just kick back. You know, like one of the things that's always driven me crazy about eBay is if I'm not there to kind of monitor what's going on, then I can't really participate in the marketplace and I miss out on things. And especially if you're looking for something rare, you know, you're trying to find a lucky time or something like that. That thing might only come up on eBay once a year. And if you're out at the cottage when that happens, you're kind of screwed. But one of the things we're going to be launching this fall is you're not only going to be able to get notified, you're going to be able to pre-pay for and put deposits in on things that you don't even know where they're going to come from yet. So,
oh, nice.
Imagine how powerful it is to know that there's a new product line coming out. That line gets announced at SDCC in late July, and we know it's coming out in November. A curator gets that catalog up about a week later, and you can go in and go, yeah, I want 6 of the 8 figures out of the first wave of that. I'm willing to pay this for them. And then what we can do is we can aggregate that demand. So 450 of us might put in our wants and prepay 20% of it. We can take that then over to a wholesaler and say, listen, we've got, you know, $42,000 worth of demand. We can hand you on a silver platter that isn't going to cost you anything in terms of marketing expenses. And it's going to smooth out your inventory management profile because you don't need to think too hard about what you need to bring in stock and how much it's going to sell, because we're going to tell you exactly and we're going to do it up front. And then the idea there is that we would lead into a Groupon or Living Social type purchasing situation where the wholesaler might give the entire team 5% off and, you know, ship everything together so that we get, you know, you get those 6 figures all in one box. You pay a little less than you would have paid for them at retail. And everybody's happy.
That is very, very cool.
I mean, it's been a lot of work. This is a huge project. We've got something like 4,500 programming hours down the well. And we're running a pretty top-tier team that handles Ruby on Rails, MongoDB, The end result is a really clean, efficient, smooth operating site that almost never has bugs, and that has hot new functionality that we roll out about every 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's definitely way better sounding than eBay or any of these other sites that I've been to purchase product. As far as your catalog, I noticed that there are a lot of things missing, obviously, because it's still in its kind of infancy. So it's based on independent people coming in, posting all that information.
Yeah.
For older or newer catalogs?
It's based on curators. So the faster we can spread the word amongst collectors that there's this amazing new home for all of us, and to recruit more curators, the faster the catalogs will get built out. It's the nature of the beast. No team in startup land is going to be able to handle the millions of products we've got to get into this system. And so what we came up with was this really great way of getting the community involved by letting the same people that are moderators and power users on the various fan boards to come on board, take on a responsibility to fill out a catalog for, you know, their favorite product line, you know, call it Transformers Prime or Generations or whatever you want. And to fill out all the detail on that, it usually takes somewhere between 2 hours and 10 hours, depending on, you know, how extensive the catalog is. And then the benefit is, you know, a Wikipedia editor gets nothing. A shelf life curator gets 25% of the fees that are charged on the catalogs that they set up. So right now that means practically nothing because the volume of activity in the marketplace is still relatively low. But as we start growing and really ramping up activity and we get hundreds of thousands of users in this system, that's going to be a fairly meaningful amount of cash that you can then reinvest into your collection if you helped build out the site.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's very cool. That gives a lot of incentive to people to come help out.
Yeah, I mean, typically what we see is we get curators that come on board. Roughly half of them will get a few things done and then and run out of time. A few guys will get one or two catalogs done, and then we get the, you know, the top 20% creme de la creme of curator land. We'll put together 400 or 500 products before they run out of steam. And it really helps build up the site. I mean, we've got 50,000 products up there already. Huge swaths of the action figure realm. We're starting to build out all the video games. So all the Xbox 360 games ever made are up there now. We're just about to get the PlayStation 3 stuff live. Working on a pretty cool system that's going to pull in an automated way without curator assistance, every Lego piece ever made. Just like 60,000 entries. We're pulling in every Magic the Gathering card ever made pretty soon. We just worked out the code for that the other day. And so, you know, through a combination of smart programming and curator action, the site gets better and better all the time.
So what kind of product will be featured on Shelf Life?
Ultimately, anything that could be considered collectible will end up here. So that means that we're dealing with a really massive site, something with the same kind of SEO potential as Wikipedia. Our target is that within 3 years, we'll have 5 million pages. So it's going to be a massive, massive undertaking. But one of the really cool things that makes every site feel like a smaller community for the people that are using it is that you can subscribe at any level of the hierarchy to information and updates on that part of the hierarchy. So if you only care about Transformers, or you only care about Gem Dolls, or you only care about Xbox games, you can subscribe to that, and it will custom tailor the notifications you get from our system. It'll custom tailor a personalized nav for you that shows up on the left side of the site so that you can get like one-click access to the catalogs you care about most. And it will custom tailor what media information gets fed to you when we get we're going to be setting up a media aggregation system that pulls in all the most relevant news from across the web and puts it into a neat little like reading list, kind of like an RSS feed for all of the collectors that are using the site. And the whole idea is to just centralize all the information so you have a one-stop shop to get everything you need.
Definitely sounds like a winner on that whole area. That makes me very excited because I don't like having to search all over the web trying to find specific collectible items.
Exactly. And I mean, one of the other things that's kind of exciting for, you know, the podcasters and bloggers and the media figures and stuff that are out there running their own properties is that we're fully inclusive. You can go in and if you find a product that you know you reviewed you know, you did an unboxing or for something last week, you can drop that a link to that content and a title for your content into a product details page. And, you know, you get a link back and you enrich the content of that page by sharing your content and information with the users and putting it alongside the central listing, which means ultimately all the best information about that product from all over the web will all live on a single page.
Oh, awesome. So I know we've talked a little bit about some of the future functionality, but what do you see it doing in within the next 3 to 5 years in growth and in functionality?
Sure. I mean, we like to think things more in like 3 to 6 months at a time, because we're moving so fast and getting so much done. And the other thing is to plan out 3 to 5 years in terms of functionality. We have a general game plan. We know what we want to launch, but really we're spending a lot of time listening to the users. We've got 1,200 users already inside the system that have been helping out with the beta test. They've got tons of feedback all the time. And you know, we find that we're adapting, evolving, adjusting our plans week to week as we see what's working and not working for the users. I mean, so far feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, but there's always little things that bug people that don't quite work the way they should have. And we're very focused on being responsive to that and showing that this is, you know, for collectors by collectors, that we fully understand as collectors who are active inside our own system, what we're going to need for this to work perfectly. And you know, nothing's ever perfect, but it's well worth setting the goal and then pushing hard and not falling into that like profit slump that eBay does, where they know they've got your money and they just don't care.
Yeah, I can agree with you on, I love the fact that it's by collectors for collectors instead of some, like you said, money hungry conglomerate that doesn't care whether it's one listing or another. I do like the fact that your website skips all of the mess of eBay, skips the various collector club kind of hassles. It helps people that, for instance, like myself, I'm on a very tight budget as far as what I can afford, and the fact that I'm entering in some of my wants and haves in there and they're already kind of popping up in specific price ranges, it's kind of a nice thing to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nice to name your price and walk away, and not have to come back on the site all the time to be trying to track that product down. There's really no reason it needs to work that way. I mean, eBay only does it that way because they know that they have a higher overall yield and a higher revenue if you're on the site all the time. And so our premise is that, you know, we want you on the site all the time too, but we don't want you on the site doing pointless things. We want you on the site learning more about more products, interacting with other collectors, rating things, you know, flagging things, telling us, you know, pointing out inaccuracies on product details pages, and really, like, you know, functioning as a happy, healthy community that's, you know, just sharing a passion for the things we love most. And it doesn't need to be any more complicated than that.
Now, do you guys plan on having, or I'm not quite sure if you do or not, but do you guys plan on having apps for the different portable devices?
Absolutely.
In the future?
Yeah, absolutely. So the site already works pretty good on mobile browsers, but we're putting together a mobile version of, and then probably in order, it'll be Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry, if BlackBerry is still around by the time we get there.
Yeah.
Since they're looking a little shaky. But definitely iPhone and Android for sure later this fall, and a mobile specific. And the great thing about our mobile platform is it opens up whole new opportunities. So, I mean, we're really looking to bridge the gap between collector activity online and offline, and make the whole, you know, 50-mile radius search of your local Target and Walmart a much less painful experience. Because I think we can all relate to hearing about a $10, you know, deluxe toy that comes out, and spending an entire Saturday afternoon dragging our friends and family around looking for this thing, wasting $30 in gas when we probably should have just bought the thing online.
Yeah.
So one of the big functionalities on our mobile apps will be the ability to scan products directly into your collection by flipping them upside down and scanning that barcode with the camera on your phone. And when you do that, you'll be able to report to Shelf Life what store you're at and how many of those are still on the shelf and at what time. The system will automatically pass that information on to all of the collectors in your trusted collector circle if they are within range of those stores. So everybody will be able to kind of set in their profiles how far they usually drive to go look for stuff. And the system will use all of that information to triangulate and let everybody know if there's an opportunity to buy it in a store who might end up being a strategic partner of ours. Toys R Us is a good example.
Nice.
Rather than, buying it on shelf life. And, potentially we might get to the point where the system can turn collector friends into, low profit scalpers, where you're sitting in the store and whereas normally in a traditional model, you would go onto a buy sell trade thread, which is utterly haunted by scalpers. And the scalper would show up and clear that shelf before anybody else got a chance. But if you have limited release for this information based on your circle of friends on shelf life, then you have the chance to, have six of your buddies' wants automatically activate and say, hey, while you're there, pick us all up one and, we'll come pick it up at your house later instead of having to, make the extra trek over to whatever big box you found the stuff in. So there's a lot of opportunity to do some pretty cool stuff that hasn't been, we've all been leaning on PHP BB message boards for ages. And the reality is that they just aren't getting the job done.
Well, and hardly anybody uses forums at this point in time.
I mean, I would argue there's still, some pretty strong forum communities. I mean, Cybertron.com, TFW 2005, you're talking about sites with tens of thousands of users.
True.
But yeah, I mean, there forums are great for discussion. They're not great for real-time commerce. That's not what they were designed for. It's not their forte. The technology is here now, ready to be leveraged. So, the really big unlocking piece was that we all have these phones now that are basically magical objects. And there's so many great ways you can leverage that to make things easier on us.
Awesome. So before I let you go, is there anything that you'd like to kind of pimp out or that you already haven't?
I guess just to throw some love out at everybody that's gotten on board early and that's been making good use of the system. Every collector that comes on board helps us get a little closer to the goal. So certainly anything any of you can do to spread the word and tweet us and mention us on Facebook. We also have an announcement about our URL. There's been some questions about why it was shelflifex.com. Simple answer was .com was not available. but we picked up through negotiation a couple weeks ago, shelflife.net. So very shortly that will, our web searches by name will be working better. And shelflife.net is going to be the future home of Shelf Life.
Okay.
We got a lot of great functionality coming up this fall. All that stuff with mobile and audit, further upgrades to the automatic matching of buyers and sellers. And we're putting together a really cool program called Collector Dashboard that's going to let you kind of get a vanity URL and share your collection out to the web. And it's going to already we have forum signatures that are auto-generated that show off parts of your collection and show what you've got for sale or what you're looking for. And we're going to be upgrading from that to the ability to generate entire BST threads. So you can replace your micromanagement of your text-based buy-sell trade thread with a fully visual, super pretty, and easier to parse visual output of the parts of your collection you're looking to sell. And that's all part of our ongoing efforts to make Shelf Life kind of like the one central home for your collection data. We're even going to be integrating with Amazon and eBay, so you're going to be able to pimp your stuff out from within Shelf Life to eBay if you so choose. And you'll have, like, no matter where you end up selling something, it'll report that back to your collection on Shelf Life and make sure that your collection is automatically updated. So,
oh, okay.
Lots of great stuff coming down the road.
Awesome. Awesome. So is there any way that people can get a hold of you or get a hold of everybody, the team of Shelf Life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're still small enough that we're taking people's phone calls if they want to call up and complain. So everyone at shelflifex.com, that's everyone at shelflifex.com, is the email address to sign up as a curator, to provide feedback, to ask questions, and just generally kind of plug into the team and make your voice heard, because ultimately we're making this for all of you. So if you communicate and you tell us what you want, then there's a pretty decent chance you'll get it.
Cool. So we'd like to thank you once again, James, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with me this afternoon.
Thank you, Steve.
Yep, and we'll be back after this.
You've just listened to GeekCast Radio on the GeekCast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadio. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.